those who were commissioned all around this world to go and do the impossible, to go and do what only God can do. And I was privileged to be able to go and to gather in with apostolics, with believers, Jesus followers, those who are doing it the way that Jesus did, in the first church did in the day of Pentecost. And we gathered together in the football stadium, the old football stadium, the America Center in St. Louis. And football stadiums are the only thing that can now hold the number of students, the number of people who are going to our North American Youth Congress. It used to be held in basketball stadiums, but they are not large enough anymore. And so the past two, we have our Youth Congress every other year, and our past two have been held in football stadiums because that's the only thing that will hold 37,000 people who have gathered together into a city. Amen. 37,000 of us were gathered together in St. Louis, and that's over one-tenth of the population of that entire city. They only have 300-some thousand people in there in the entire city of St. Louis, and to see the apostolics, to see us just taking over that city, and everywhere that you walked, you just kind of saw people there with you. And as we gathered into the dome and we worshiped God, that place was shaken. And I was standing there on during the one service and kind of looking down at the bleachers that I was standing in, or the stands, and wondering, I hope that this holds, because we have thousands of people that are standing on this, just jumping up and down and praising Jesus. And I had some confidence. I knew that I had some football games, and I'm sure they got rowdy in those. And if they can get rowdy in there for a football game, then let's get rowdy for Jesus. Come on, let's give God some praise. If I can get into sports, if I can get into that, then I can get into to somebody who gave everything for me. Amen. And that's exactly what was taking place. We had 37,000 of us who were gathered there, just giving God everything that we had, and the preaching was incredible. It was appointed for this time, for these young people who went to this conference. And I just happen to believe that what we may look at as the next generation, the ones who they're going to have their time, they're going to do something great, they're going to impact their world, they're going to do something. I just happen to believe that going to is right now. That going to is not something that's 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. But I think that this generation can have an impact right now. It can have an impact in their schools. They have already done it. We have students who they have started Bible clubs in their school. They have taught Bible studies in their school. They have organized themselves, gotten with a teacher, and asked if they could use their classroom so that they can meet either before school or after school for meetings with their friends, where they open up the Bible and they get into the Word of God and they teach them Bible studies right in their public schools. We have students who are impacting their schools because they just happen to believe that we are in critical times. We are in critical times. And we can't wait. We can't put off for tomorrow what needs to happen today. We don't know whether or not we have tomorrow. You know, it was many times in the Bible that God used young people to do incredible things. You know the story of David and Goliath, and how David was just a young boy. He was just a young man who had gone onto that battlefield. And in fact, he was not even a soldier. His older brothers were all soldiers, but here he was back at home tending to the sheep. the battle was close by, and so his father sent him with supplies to feed his brothers as they were in battle. And when he walked onto that battlefield, he heard the giant Goliath calling out, defying the God of Israel. And something welled up inside of David. He said, why are all of you hiding from this man? Why are all of you hiding from this man who is calling our God names, who is telling us that he can't protect us, he can't provide for us? Why are you all cowering to this? This is just a young boy. And so David said, I trust that God is on my side. And David went and he picked up those 5 stones in the brook and he put them in his pouch. And then he went to the king Saul and he said, I want to fight this man. So at a young age, David went, and with all the odds stacked against him, so it seemed to everybody else. But the truth was, all the odds were stacked in his favor because God was on his side. And with God on his side, he outnumbered anything that the enemy threw at him. So at a young age, David took down Goliath. We have preachers of the gospel. Jeremiah was one. When Jeremiah was called, you can read it in the first chapter of Jeremiah, where he says, God, I hear you speaking to me, but I'm too young. I can't do it. God said, how dare you say that you're too young? I'm calling you to go right now. It doesn't matter what age you are. If I give you a word to speak, I want you to go and to speak. And so Jeremiah became a mighty prophet that went out throughout all the land of Judah and Israel. And he began to preach the gospel, preach the warnings of God at a young age. Samuel is a prophet who was called at a young age in the temple. And he heard the call of God and he said, first he thought it was Eli, the priest that was calling to him. But finally, he understood that it was God that was calling him and he said, here I am. Here I am, God. Use me. God, what is it that your call is? And it was a call of God upon his life at a young age. It was the disciples. Sometimes we look at them and we think of them as older adults, but in fact, history tells us that more than likely these were either young 20-year-olds or old teenagers, the disciples, the ones who were following Jesus, especially John, who was the youngest of them, likely a teenager. Young people who were used to do great things for God. Young people who they didn't have to wait to do it, but they said, you know what? It doesn't matter what my age is. It doesn't matter what the time is. People might think that I could do something. I'm going to do something now. Amen. I've asked here today for our young people who attended North American Youth Congress, for those who were impacted by the sermons that they heard there. And I know that some of you in this place, that you listen to the live streams of the evening services of Youth Congress, and so you've heard some of the messages, but there was something that they received that was not just, they're not just going to be repeating exactly what they heard, but they're going to share with you. And I gave them the liberty and the freedom to go and to just allow God to use them here today as they minister to us. So would you just get behind our young people today as they present the word. Now they didn't know that they were going to do this until this morning. I just want you to know they're just allowing God just to work through them here today. Amen. We're going to have Sister Madison Bricker, she's going to come first, and she is going to share what, is that right? I have our list of people who are here. I have Maddie up first, her name. She looked at me like I wasn't supposed to go first. Man, she's going to come and she's going to share what she received at North American Youth Congress. And I wonder if we today could just allow God to speak through her and that you would be open to what God has to say to us today.
North American Youth Congress this year was life-changing for me, and I mean that literally. I wasn't going to say this, but up until this a couple weeks ago, and even before that, I've been really, really struggling. The enemy has been attacking my mind. I've had to go. Sorry, this is not my comfort zone, but I've been really struggling with deep bouts of depression, and it's almost like a cloud, and I would not wish that upon anyone. And it got to the point where I was thinking about suicide. And going up to this youth congress, I just told God, I need a miracle. I can't keep going on like this. I need a miracle. It was like the make it or break it moment. And I'm like, God, I need something from you. And on the second night of youth congress, I'm thankful to say I received that miracle. Because Jesus is greater than anything that may come your way. And there were thousands of other miracles that happened in that place. Because when people come together with that mindset, that expectation of we will come to receive this. And without any boundaries, without any limitations of what God can do. Because he can do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. And then that was... To me, that was enough. Like, thank you, Lord. Okay, now I can go home. But he thought it would be better if he even gave me purpose. So the next night, I was able to redefine my life and to come back into purpose. And I had... And that light and that burden that had fizzled out since way back when, I don't even has become realigned, and I'm excited to see what God has in store for me and for my ministry and for this church, because he can do anything. I mean, we've seen revival in these last couple weeks, but this is just the beginning. We cannot put a limit on God, because like the last preacher said, we can't measure a miracle. We can't say to the back pains, oh, you can be healed. But blindness, why don't you go get a seeing eye, dog? We have to expect and believe, because Jesus can do anything. Anything. So I'm thankful, and I'm so grateful for the experience I had in NAYC.
This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight my battles.
Yes, come on now, would you worship today?
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah, Jesus, hallelujah.
God, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. We're going to have Sister Shelby is going to come, and she's going to share what God has done in her life, what she received at North American Youth Congress this year.
Try not to talk your ears off today. So before going to NAYC, I'm not going to lie to you, I was struggling spiritually. I knew that my calling, I knew what my calling was, and I was running away from it. What God has in store for me isn't me at all. I'm likely the quietest person you know. Some of you may never have even heard my voice before this moment. throughout my entire life, preachers whom I've never met before would come up to me, smile, and say words that would both encourage me and frighten me. Each one would tell me that God is going to use me in ways that I would never imagine, that God has so much in store for my life, that my life as a whole would change countless lives or countless others. My calling scared me until I got to NAYC. Throughout every single service, God repeatedly showed me only one thing, and regardless of the topic for each message, my mind kept going back to it. And before I go into that, I'm going to tell you the definition of anointing. Anointing means to be set apart. It means that there is something supernaturally unusual happening. Though it may be unusual to the world, it should not be unusual to our lives or in our churches. The anointing enables us to do what we could not do on our own. Isaiah 10:27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. God gives us what we need to succeed, and our anointing breaks the yoke. Our anointing overcomes any obstacle put in our way, and our anointing makes the difference. It is necessary. In Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. We need to accept our anointing and act on it. And in John 14:12, this is Jesus speaking. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Let me ask you, do we really believe that greater works is ours to have? We are measuring and limiting the power of God. John 14:12 is saying that we will do greater works than Jesus. The same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in you.
Our next individual is going to come up. I want to say that I am so thankful for Sister Zusi and all that she has invested in ministry over the years, and especially this summer. She has spent five weeks down at our youth camps and as a counselor, and she has been there with our students, our kids from all over Indiana, and helping them
has prayed out at the altar. She's helped them. She's stayed in dorms that I promise you, you don't want to sleep in those beds for an entire week. But she has sacrificed and she has given her time to be there to invest into our kids. Because of that, we have students who we have children who are down at youth camp, and they were impacted by what took place because of people like Sister Zusi who have sacrificed their time to go down and be there to invest in them throughout the summer. So I want to thank you for that. But I'm going to bring her up here. She also attended North American Youth Congress, and I want her to share her heart of what she received while she was there.
So, kind of took my intro. I'm coming from a different perspective, just because I have been gone all summer, and I just want to leave with you guys looking back on three things that I feel like kind of sum up everything that I've heard all summer and through NAYC. And one of my first, and definitely not the least, but we must stay connected to our pastor. Our church has gone through a big transition this year, and this summer has been life-changing for me as well. And one of the main things that we need to realize that no matter how many times I go to all these preaching, like here, we hear all these big preachers and everything, our pastor is the one that has been here day in and day out, week in, week out, that has devoted his life, changed his whole lifestyle for us, for our souls, to see our souls one. And we have to back him up in everything because the anointing will flow through him and comes through him. And when we hear him preaching on rules, we can't take it as rules. It's boundaries. He's our shepherd, and it's boundaries that he's using his staff to guard us from falling astray. We're the foolish sheep that don't know the danger ahead, but he spent that time in prayer and sees those things for us. Another thing is prayer and fasting. We hear it all the time. Prayer and fasting, prayer and fasting, prayer and fasting. But do we really live prayer and fasting? Do we really take that time out? We have to cut down our flesh, because when we start our day with God to direct us, we're being proactive in our life. Not at the end of the day, or I say my prayer at the end of the day, God forgive me for this, God forgive me for that. But being proactive at the beginning of our day, saying, God, direct me. Who can I touch? Who can I see? Not, oh man, I probably could have touched that one. I probably could have reached there. I should have went there. But no, putting on the whole armor of God and being prepared for that battle that God has for us. And when we do this, Shelby talked about it, the anointing will flow. We have to find favor in God. We can't find favor in God if we're doing foolish things, if we're sinning. And when we cut down ourselves, it's for the souls, essentially, because we will find favor in God, and the anointing flows through our favor. To go on with the anointing, we had a little bit of a visual in one of our classes about raw chicken versus eating at Chick-fil-A. And the anointing is what? The anointing of the oil. It's like the cut-up chicken dipped in the oil. Nobody wants to eat the raw chicken, but we're going to go to Chick-fil-A in a hot minute. And so we need to realize that there is cost, there is effort. We have to make that effort to have that anointing. And the third thing with that is a game plan. All this, we have to have a game plan. And everything we do, if you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. And so we need to reserve a specific time for God. Reserve a specific time for prayer. Don't make it by accident. Have a plan. Write it down. Your goals, books you want to read, more prayer time, fasting. Write down daily declarations in your prayers to keep God first, to keep your mind and your heart and your words where God wants them to be. We must be proactive and not reactive in our spiritual growth. In James 1:23, we have to follow that. We can't just be hearers of the word, but we have to be doers. and we need to apply what we hear in our daily lives.
Mentioned that I just asked them this morning if they would speak today. And you notice that it looks like some of them have been preparing for this. Now what I want to say about that is I'm thankful for note takers and for those who they don't just come into a service and just sit there and just receive it and expect it to last, but they're writing it down. They're making sure, you know, I need something that I can look back on, something that I can get this implanted in my life. And you can see Sister Zusie, as she's been going to these services, and Shelby, the same thing, going to these services. You're writing down what God has been speaking to you and writing down what the preacher's been preaching. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for note takers. I'm thankful when I look out here and see those of you who are writing down, and it's not because I have all the answers or because I have just great things to say, but I'm thankful that you're just allowing God, as He speaks through me, amen, that you would receive that. And so just wanted to point that out, amen, as I saw Sister Zusie pulling from the notes that she's been taking all summer. Amen. I've been like itching to share some of the miracles, the different things that have been happening in AYC, but I'm going to hold back because I don't want to take what somebody else is going to share, and so I don't know what they're sharing. We're going to have Kiana is going to come up, and she is going to share what she received at North American Youth Congress. I believe this was your first one that you have attended, and so amen, if you would, amen, just receive what she has for us today.
This was my first NAYC, and it was amazing. I loved the music. I loved the services. But my favorite service had to be the second night. We were asked if we were in need of a miracle. The preacher asked us to shout in the name of Jesus to declare our healing and raise our hands. My need was a physical need. Now, I haven't shared this with a lot of people because I'm always embarrassed or self-conscious. But if you don't know, I suffer from alopecia, and that means I experience hair loss all over my head. It is hard because sometimes I can't hide it and people stare, which is a really devastating thing for me because I am very just self-conscious of myself. So when I raised my hands and declared my healing in Jesus' name, I truly believe that my head was healed. It might take a little while, but I do truly believe I was healed and it was answered. So as for all of you, if you are in need of a miracle, all you have to do is declare your miracle to Jesus in Jesus' name and raise your hands and just give Him all of the glory.
Hallelujah. Amen. I can't hold back. Amen. I got to share at least one of the miracles that happened. It was in that service. As the preacher stepped up to the platform, he told us about something that took place during the worship time throughout that service. He had received a text, or I don't know if it's him or one of the ministers that was next to him, had received a message, a report of an individual, an elder, somebody who was watching online. They weren't even in the building, but they were watching the service online. And as the worship was happening. And it was, as prayer had gone forth at the beginning of the service, declaring that miracles were going to take place. And we prayed for miracles to happen there. And we declared it, that it was going to happen. And then the worship happened. And there was this individual, this man, who had a tumor. It was a growth that, it was a tumor on his, and it was a cancerous tumor that was on his ear. And as he began to worship along with the live stream that he was watching, that tumor fell off of his ear and it was gone, and he was healed right in that instance. Come on, this took place. This was just like 3 days ago. That was just one of the miracles that we saw. There were also pictures. I didn't see this happen, but there was a picture that I saw on social media that was shared after that service of an empty wheelchair, that somebody who had come in on a wheelchair and walked out on their own, by their own means, because God had healed them of the disease that they had gone into that service with. Man, I'm gonna stop there because I don't know what else we have to share. We're gonna have, you can be seated. We're gonna have Brother Zach Bricker is going to come, and he is going to share with you what God spoke to him and what God did for him at North American Youth Congress this year.
Well, a few years ago, I believe God put a calling on my life, and that calling was to speak to my school and minister to my school. And I tried to deny it for a long time, and this year, I accepted the calling. And I started a P7 club, but a month later, the P7 club was destroyed. Satan started talking to me, telling me that it wasn't my calling, and that it was just me trying to make a point in my life. And I believed him, and I got so sad. I experienced panic attacks, and I got, every time I heard P7, I just fell into a state of depression. But at NAYC, Jesus talked to me, and he reaffirmed my calling. That we were there, I just kept hearing the same word, faith, faith, faith. So God already gave me my calling, but I was so nervous to act on it because of what already happened. And then I heard a song at NAYC, and it was life-changing for me. It's called I Am Not Afraid, and it goes like this. When I walk through the water, I will not be overcome. When I walk through the rivers, I will not be drowned, for my God will make a way, and I am not afraid. And through the song, he spoke to me, and he told me that no matter what, he will be with me, and that we just have to take the leap of faith, no matter what it is. And I'm so thankful that I went to NAYC to hear this, and it's life-changing for me.
It may look like he's surrounded, but he's surrounded by you. It may look like he's surrounded, but he's how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. Yeah! This is how I fight my battles. 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 This is how I fight my battles.
It may look like I
it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. How I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles.
Hallelujah. Come on now. Come on now. Let's give God some praise. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Zach, can I ask, what school do you go to? Carroll Middle School. Okay. You'll be heading into Carroll High School this upcoming year? Okay. Carroll High School. Amen. He said, you may not have caught what he meant but when he said P7 clubs. This is our Project 7 Bible clubs, what he had started last year. Amen. And he felt the call again. And I just wonder if we could pray. I know that we've already prayed for our schools. We've already prayed for these students. But I just want us to pray for Zach Bricker right now as he gets into his school, as he's accepted the calling to go and to teach a Bible club, to start a Bible club in Carroll High School. So if we could just extend our hands
Church,
right now. Come on, right now.
This is an extension of new life. This is a preaching point to bring the gospel of truth to those that are lost. So right now, Jesus, I pray your anointing upon this preaching point in the name of Jesus.
We went down with, we had 12 in our group that went down, I guess 14 that were there, Youth Congress this year. There were some groups, you can imagine in conference of that size, there are some very large churches around the nation. There were groups of 100, youth group of 100. I know one church that they went, and it's a church here in Indiana. You know their youth pastor. And they brought down, they were sitting next to us the one night, and I asked, you know, how their travels were, everything. And they had 94 students that went to Youth Congress. Just a couple years ago, that church really wasn't, the youth group, not much larger than ours. But they had a couple students that got a burden for their schools. They had a couple students who got involved in P7 clubs and Bible clubs. They started teaching Bible clubs in their school, and they started winning their friends, and they started influencing the people in their school, and their youth group began to grow and grow, and they started a revival. There was something that happened in their church because of students who got involved in their school, who weren't afraid to answer the call. Man, I know, heard many stories where that's taking place. I know a church in Wisconsin, amen, that they have believed about 15 different P7 clubs. Every high school that they have in their representing their school, they have, or in their church, they have a Bible club in it, and their church is impacted by the students. The students going out, they baptized them, and they brought them then to NAYC, and it was awesome seeing the reports of P7 students who were then at Youth Congress this year because of somebody else who reached them. Amen. Thank you, Zach. Amen. For answering the call. We're going to have, I also asked our youth leaders, Brother Joshua is going to come and he is going to share. You have your liberty. Amen.
whatever God has laid on your heart for this church and for this people this time right now.
When Pastor asked us to talk today, we went upstairs and we prayed. And I told the kids, I said, I'm not going to make anybody speak. Anyone that doesn't want to speak, you don't have to speak. And immediately a bunch of them raised their hand and said, I'm not going to talk, because they were nervous. I said, but here's the thing. We all, in that place, we said, God, we're going to go home and we're going to change our worlds. This is the first step. Being able to get out and declare things publicly. What these young people have shared isn't just a special line from a sermon that they heard, but these are personal testimonies about what they experienced and what they're going to take and what they're going to go with them. I am beyond proud of our young people. Because some of them, they're a little quiet and they didn't want to come up here today. But you know where they weren't quiet? Was in their worship. Because our young people worshiped. And they praised God. It was amazing to see. The first night Brother Carson got up, and there was a line that he said that it convicted me. For me, the theme of this youth congress was conviction. As a minister, as a man trying to lead his family and to lead these young people, it was conviction. He said, we know how to have good church, but do we know how to be the church? Because we come in church and we know how to shout and we know how to run the aisles, but when it comes time to be a witness out there, to be the light, to be what God called us to be, do we know how to do that? He talked about Haman and Esther and Mordecai and how Esther was in the palace. She was in a comfortable place. She was in a safe place. But in order to get her miracle, she couldn't just be in the palace. She couldn't just be in the room. But she had to enter into the presence of the king. She had to be vulnerable in the presence of the king in order for her nation, her people, for their lives to be changed. As a church, I feel like that's what God has called New Life Tabernacle to, is not just seeing how many people we can fit in here and have a good shout-down service, but how many people can have that one-on-one presence with God, that life-changing presence that's standing in the gap for a nation, for a community. On the last night, Matt Tuttle, he was preaching, and we were talking about not measuring God. And we, all week long, man, everyone was excited, and we were shouting about 37,000 people. Because 37,000 people is a lot of people. To put it into perspective, my first youth congress 8 years ago down in Louisville, we had about 13. And it's exponentially grown since then. And we get excited, and we claim 37,000 people. And as he's preaching about not putting limits on God and talking about it, he has them put the lights up to the upper deck. Because that arena sat 65,000 people. And there were 30,000 empty seats up there. But we were rejoicing about the 37 that we had down below. And as the light showed up on those seats, God spoke to my heart. And he said, Josh, how many empty seats are in your church right now? Because you're getting excited about the baptisms you had this year. You're getting excited about all the people that we've prayed through this year. But Pastor, God spoke to me and he said, how many people are addicted to drugs that could die this year if we don't reach out to them? If we be content with the numbers that we have, if we begin to measure. One word that he spoke, he said, it's sad that our youth and our generation gets excited about a church of 500. We think of a church of 500, we think, man, that's huge. That's amazing. But what would happen if we didn't put a limit on God? If we just continue to pray, Lord, keep sending more. Keep building more. God, keep blessing us more. God, I want more. God, this isn't good enough, Lord. I'm thankful for what I got, but God, I got to have more. Lord, I need a breakthrough today. And the last thing that I'm going to say, it wasn't a shout down service, but during Friday, there was a man about 5 foot tall from South Dakota. And what impressed me the most about this young man was that he didn't have an amazing altar call because of music or because of words, but it was because of conviction that he instilled into the congregation. It was people that wanted to be consecrated, that wanted to be dedicated, that wanted to change their world. And I believe it was him that was telling a story about Ezekiel and how God called Ezekiel, and he even told Ezekiel that if I just put you somewhere else, you could have a following of thousands and a huge, amazing impact, but that's not what I've called you to do. I've called you to do a ministry that's going to be tough, a ministry that's not going to be rewarded, a ministry that you're going to want to give up and walk away so many times, but it's what I've called you to do. And it's through that calling that the nations are going to be able to be impacted. Shay Mann said in our leadership class, I know they've already mentioned the verse a couple different times in Isaiah, but it means something special to me. Because Isaiah 10:27 says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that this burden shall be taken away from thy shoulder, and his yoke shall be off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." So often when we talk about the yoke, we talk about the yoke being broken. And we talk about break the yoke. But Brother Mann said, there's a difference between being broken and being destroyed. Because when something's broken, it can be put back together. You see, when you come up here and you pray for deliverance from addiction, and you feel that the yoke has been broken, then guess what? You can go back and you can fall into that same place again. But what I feel like God has called Kinderville to, it is a place to destroy the yokes. A place where I'm sick and tired of meth being something that Kinderville and Noble County is known for. I don't believe that we just need to break each individual that comes up to the altar and say, let's break them of this addiction. But let's destroy the hold that meth has on Noble County. Let's destroy the hold that depression has on my young people, upon the saints, upon everybody in this congregation today. I wonder what would happen if we got in the minds that are saying, Lord, I just don't want to break it, but I want it to be destroyed.
Group this morning if they could come. There's just one person that said, can I go last? God has already spoken to me something that I want to do and pray for this church. So Sister Sarah, amen, we're going to have her come. She's going to speak to us last here.
Obviously Thursday night, Brother Cunningham's message spoke to everyone. It was the one where everyone had a shout down good time. Tested my faith a little bit, like Pastor said, standing on those bleachers, and I look down and the chairs are wobbling, and I'm like, oh God, please let it stay, don't let us fall. And we get in the van and Zach says, oh my word, someone posted that the bleachers fell. Did not happen. I learned a lot about your students. I learned that Zach is full of scientific facts. I learned that Gloria is a talker. We learned that they work well as a team, that they fight with each other, but they also fought with each other in services. I truly believe that God spoke to each and every one of them, even the ones that aren't up here, that didn't come up here today. I watched as Adam received his blessing. I watched as Gloria and Maddie and every single one of them, I shouldn't have started naming names, as they all prayed through and they received everything they needed. Yesterday, as we came home, I tried to stir them a little bit. Did you receive everything you came to get? Every one of them said yes. We don't want it to stop there, though. There's about 3,000 or 36,900 less people in this building today than there were 2 days ago in that building. But the same God that was in St. Louis, he's in this building. We're an army. And sometimes that army has to be deployed. So God deployed them, each and every one of them, to their churches today. That they could reach their cities, that they could reach their worlds. Because the world that Kaylee lives in isn't the same world that Zach lives in. And his P7 club may not be the same as hers if she ever decides to use one. But those kids are going to be fighting together. In Thursday night service, Brother Cunningham had everyone raise their hand and point their finger. And he said, you have more power in that finger than all of hell. If we truly believed that, if we would truly grasp that, that You have more power. I don't know what they were talking about, but in the van they kept saying, fire fingers. And all I could think is, believe it. Receive that. Believe that the power of God, that the fire of God is inside of your little fingers. After Brother Cunningham said that, he asked everyone who needed any kind of healing, from the tiniest, you have a hangnail, to cancer, to whatever it was, to raise their hand. Thousands of hands were raised. Then he had the people around them lay hands on them in Jesus' name. We've heard on Facebook thousands and thousands of people and their testimonies. One today that I read on the way to church, the guy listed probably 10 things that went wrong with his trip. He said, but every single bit of it was worth it when we got home and our youth was changed. Because some of them went with depression. Some of them went with whatever. And they came home changed. Truly, their lives will never be the same. And those who went to Youth Congress, I'm going to ask you to come line up right here. So these guys, they were in that service, and they got to receive their healings. They got to receive everything that they needed. But we don't want it to end there. We want to bring it home to you. So if there's anybody in this building today who has any kind, that needs any kind of healing, I'm going to ask you to come. It doesn't matter what it is. You don't have to say it out loud, but if you need a healing, if it's financial, physical, mental, freedom from addiction, if your family needs to be unified, if you have kids who aren't in church, whatever the healing is, right now I'm going to ask you to come. Don't miss your opportunity because of your pride. Right now we're going to have our youth group pray over you. In Jesus' name, they're going to pray with the same power that they had the other night. In Jesus' name, Lord, you see each and every need. God, you see what's going on. And Lord, we plead your blood over it. In Jesus' name, Lord, with the power you gave us, we give it back, Lord, and we plead your blood over each and every need. I thank you, God, for healing in advance. Lord, you said in your word that by your stripes we are healed, and we stand on that promise. In Jesus' name.
Maybe you're wondering, you know, why are they so excited? Why are they so hyped up? Well, when you get a call of God in your life, when you get some direction in your life and you understand that this is my purpose and this is my calling, it gets exciting, because no longer are you kind of wandering in the darkness or trying to figure out, God, where do I go? God, what do I need to do right now? But we have one mind, one call. Come on, we have one purpose in mind. Come on, and that is to reach and to build the kingdom of God. The overarching theme of this Congress was kingdom, and to be kingdom-minded, to build the kingdom of God. I believe it was Brother Tuttle on the last night, on Friday night, that he read the verse that was talking about John the Baptist, that said that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now we need to take the kingdom by force. Now we need to pick up our armor, pick up our weapons, and begin to pray and begin to fight some kingdom battles. We need to fight some kingdom battles.
We had some breakthroughs at this youth congress. There were miracles that we mentioned, some things that took place, and I believe that the miracle that Kiana claimed, amen, I believe it. I claim it in Jesus' name. Come on, it's done. There were other miracles that took place. I think the greatest miracle, those who received the gift of the Holy Ghost on that night. And as we prayed, we were surrounding that place and were looking around, and we had those who were refilled in our group, and I know Bailey, and I know Kaylee. Amen. God was just all moving all throughout our group. Amen. But we had, it was an estimate. They had just people raise their hand, and they didn't like count everybody, but with the number of hands that were raised, there were nearly 1,000 people that night who received the gift of the Holy Ghost for the first time. And when you get in that kind of atmosphere, when you're there and God is moving, it gets you excited. Come on, there's no greater miracle. There's no greater miracle than to receive the Spirit of God in your life. That is the greatest thing that you could have happen. Amen. I am excited about where this church is at right now. And I'm excited about the future of this church. I'm excited about where we're going. I have confidence in this generation that's coming. I just happen to believe that this is the greatest generation. That this is the generation that will see all of the prophecies of the Bible to come to pass. The things about the end time. This is the generation that it says that they will have the latter rain that will be poured out, what will be greater than the former rain. That they're going to be the ones who will see and you know, we're still alive, so don't cut yourself out of this. You're part of this as well. We're the ones who are in this time right now where God is going to have the greatest things that have ever taken place. The greatest revival that's ever taken place in the face of this earth is going to take place right now, and we are in the midst of it right now. I mean, they shared testimonies of two different nations, one in the Philippines. Just a couple of months ago, they had a week-long conference in the Philippines, and they had, in that 1 week span, 6,000 people who received the gift of the Holy Ghost for the first time. These were not Christians when they walked into that place, but they walked out and they had the Spirit of God in them. 6,000 people. 6,000 people. And that was on the hill, that was on the heels of a conference that was held in Guatemala. Where in Guatemala they had 8,000 that received the gift of the Holy Ghost in one night. 8,000 people. Come on. In the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, there were 3,000. We look at that and we're like, that's amazing. But there are greater things happening right now. And I'm declaring greater things for the city of Kendallville. I'm declaring greater things for the church of New Life Tabernacle. I am declaring greater things. And it's happening right now. Amen. If you could, I know it's time that we dismiss. Amen. We'll just play one more song. If you want to worship with us here today as we dismiss in prayer. We have... Yes, thank you. There is... before we do that, there is anybody who is planning on going on Friday night to the singles thing. If you could meet with Sister Karen. Meet right up here in the front area if you're planning on going on Friday night. Sister Amber has one thing as well. Yes, thank you. Anybody who's planning on, who is helping with